So we're discussing the case of Gezel HaGer. And a Ger dies, he has no Yorshim, and his possessions are all Hefker. Now, in the case of the Gazlan, who stole from the Ger, there are two possibilities. Either the Gazlan took a Shvua and then he was Modeh during the life of the Ger, or the Gazlan took the Shvua and he was only Modeh after the death of the Ger. Those are the two scenarios. Now, the Gazlan has to pay, the Torah says, to the Ger. The Ger is dead and he has no Yorshim. So who does the Gazlan pay to? And the Torah goes out of its way to say that the payment goes to Hashem, and Hashem gives it over to the Kohen. So we'll have to see exactly what that means. But in any event, let's look at perhaps the parasha itself, which is in Bamidbar Hei Pasuk Ches. So I have here two chumashim. We'll share this one with you if you can open it up. So we'll know exactly what we're talking about here. And this is in Parshas Bamidbar. No, this is already Parshas Noso, yeah. This is already Parshas Noso. We're in Perek He of Sefer Bamidbar, Pasuk Ches. And here in the blue Chumashim, it's on page 346. And the Torah tells us, after establishing the Chiyuv Korban, in the case of a Gazlan who took a Shua Sheker, and the Torah establishes Keren and Chomesh, in Ein LeIsh Goel, the Gazlan has no possibility of paying the Yorshim because there are no Yorshim. Gold means there are no Yorshim. L'ashiv is Asham Elov, to pay back the Keren and the Chomesh. Is Ha'asham Mushav Lashem LaKohen. The payment here, the Keren and the Chomesh, which the Gazan has to pay, is going to be paid Lashem, and then from Lashem it goes to the Kohen. Milvad El HaKippur Meshayichaper Bo Olav. And in addition, the Gazlan has to bring a Korban Asham, because as we said before, as a result of the Gzela with the Shua Sheker, he needs three things. He needs a payment of a Keren, he needs a payment of an additional Chomesh, and the bringing of a Korban Asham. So that's the pasuk in Chumash. Now, let's assume that Hashem now gives over this payment of Keren v'Chomesh over to the Kohen. What happens, which is a fascinating question, if the one who stole this money from the Ger, he himself was a Kohen. So does he, you know, sort of pass it back and forth to himself? So that's what the Gemara established that we discussed last time we met, about the possibility of the Kohen, who's the Gazlan, to be Mochel himself. And in such a case, he can wipe off that chiyuv to pay the Keren v'chomesh to the Kohen, because he himself is the Kohen. The Gazan is the Kohen. However, the Gemara says that that's conditional on the fact that the chiyuv of Keren v'chomesh was clinched during the lifetime of the Ger, which means that the Gazlan, in this case the Kohen, was Modeh, and he confessed his crime during the time of the Ger's life, during the lifetime of the Ger. In such case, there was a full-fledged chiyuv of Keren v'chomesh during the life of the Ger. And now, when the Ger dies, the Kohen inherits that Keren v'chomesh. And that becomes a almost like a payment from one hand to the other. It can be mochel his own payment. This you can put on the side. Yeah, put the chumash here on the side, so make yourself comfortable. Now, what happens in the following case? This is where we left it off last time. Supposing the Kohen steals from the Ger and takes a Shvua Sheker to the Ger. The Ger then dies, and the Kohen is Modeh after the Ger's death. So at that point, the Chiyuv of Keren V'Chomesh comes into being, and immediately it's Lashem LaKohen, which means that Hashem is Zoche in that payment, in that chov of Keren V'Chomesh, and Hashem passes it on to the Kohen. Now at this point, we have to ask the question, well, who is this Kohen who stole it? Is he one of the Anshei HaMishmar or not? If he's one of the Kohanim who's serving in the Avoda at that particular moment, then Lechora, he's not inferior to any of the other Kohanim who are members of that Anshei Mishmar. And he also could bring that Karban of the Asham. And then it becomes his Karban. If it's his Karban, he's also Zocha in the Keren V'Chomesh. Because, as we discussed last time, the Keren V'Chomesh V'Yashem is one indivisible unit. So now what we're going to see is the Braisa about this particular scenario. Again, the scenario is, let's just review it, that the Kohen steals from a Ger. The Kohen then went ahead and took a Shvuas Sheker to the Ger. The Ger then died. And now the Kohen is Modeh, and he has to bring an Asham, but in addition to that, he has to pay Keren V'Chomesh. So that Keren V'Chomesh goes Lashem. That's the Brice over here. So we're on Daf Kuf, Tes Amud Beis, and we're up to the Brice, which is about two-thirds the way down your page. It's parallel to Tosus Divya Maschil Minayin. And the question is here, what does it mean when the Torah says Lashem Lakoin? Actually, even before Tosus Divya Maschil Minayin, you see a Tosus that says Lakoin. So if you drop down midway between that Tosus and the next Tosus Minayin, you'll see the first word in the line is Acharov. Do you see that? And then at the end of that line it says Tanu Rabbana. Tanu Rabbana Lashem Lakoin. So the Pasuk says, Ha'asham ha'mushav Lashem Lakoin. And then in the case where Ein la ish goel, which means the ger dies without any sons, any children, any yorshim, therefore the asham, the word asham here means the keren and chomesh, is mushav Lashem, it should be returned to Hashem. And then it says Lakoin, Molamed, and this teaches us, says the Braisa, Kano Hashem, Hashem makes a kinyan at that moment of Hodah on the Keren V'Chomesh, Unisono LaKohen, and God now transfers it over to the Kohen. To which Kohen? Sheba Oso HaMishmar. Those Kohanim that are serving in the Beis HaMikdash during those days, those are called the Anshei HaMishmar, and they're in charge of the Kapora, meaning to bring the Korban, which is Mechaper, for this Gazlon. And as part of the payment, as part of the, the penitence, the act of Kapara on the part of the Gazlon, there's not only a Korban Asham, but there's also Keren V'Chomesh, and all that is paid to the Kohanim of the Anshei Mishmar. It's not clear to me, maybe it'll become clear as we go along, whether or not one specific Kohen who's actually going to do the Hakrova, he's the one who gets the Keren V'Chomesh, he pockets the money, or it's divided equally against any of the members of that Mishmar, who can actually do the Hakrova, means the Shechita and the Zrika and so forth and so on. I don't know exactly what it means. The language of the Braisa Lioso Mishmar seems to indicate any one of the members of the Oso Mishmar, but then it says Vinosno La Kohen Sheba Oso Mishmar. It sounds like one single Kohen. So we'll see if Emirtz Hashem will be able to clarify that point. But what's more fundamental here to clarify is, what is this business about Kano Hashem? What is the significance of Kano Hashem? Is it some sort of philosophical idea, or is it a halachic idea? So the truth is that there's a Rashi about this, not here in our Masechta, but in Masechta Menachos. And Rashi says over there that Kano Lashem activates a certain principle which applies to Kodshim, which is called Mishulchan Gavoa Kazochu. Let's explain. There are certain karbonos where the Kohen himself, who's makriv the karbon, has rights to eat the meat of the karbon. And for example, if you take the case of a karbon chatos, karbon osham, even in the case of shlomim, the Kohen gets some portion of the basar karbon. And the question is, how does he acquire that basar? Is it through the Gavah? I mean, that first it really belongs to Gavah. Gavah is kind of an enterprise, a corporate entity called Hegdesh. And then it's transferred from Gavah over to the Kohen. Or does he get it directly? And the nafkamina is, if he gets it directly from, I'm sorry, if he gets it through the Gavah, which is called Mamon Gavah Kazachu, then it's not a complete total ownership. It's only a partial ownership. It gives him rights to eat the basar, and that activates the principle of Kohen Ochel Ubailam Miskaprim, in which case the Achilas HaKohen is part of the process of Kapora. It's no different than, shall we say, Zrikas HaKorban and all the other Avodos. So there's also something called Achilas HaKorban on the part of the Kohen, and that's a Machaper. But he doesn't really have any private ownership over the basar. That's called Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu. It really remains in the possession of Gavoa, just that the Kohen has rights to eat the basar. And the Gemara establishes that when you say the principle, when you activate the principle of Kohen Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu, he, if he takes the basar and he gives it to a woman for Kiddushin, then Eina Mekudeshes, because in the case of Kiddushin, he has to have total ownership in order to be a Kaddish and Isha. Now, Rashi applies that principle of Mishulchan Gavah Kazachu to the case of Gezel Ager, which means that the Kohenim will now acquire ownership, the Anshei Mishmar, in the Basar of the Karban of the Asham. And Rashi extends that to the Keren V'chomish that has to be paid to the Kohen or the Kohenim of the Anshei Mishmar. But it's Mishulchan Gavah Kazoch. And Rashi bases himself on the Lashon of this Braisa, Kano Hashem, that Hashem makes the Kinyan on the Keren V'chomesh, and then he transfers the Keren V'chomesh over to the Kohen in the Anshei Mishmar. But the Kohen in the Anshei Mishmar, insofar as he Zocha Mishulchan Gavah, doesn't have any private ownership over this moment. He's sort of like in charge of the moment, but it's not really his. And therefore, according to Rashi, applying that principle, Mishulchan Gavah Kazachu, if the Kohen now takes the Keren V'chomesh and he gives it to a lady and he says, Aret Mekudeshesli, is Ein Choshen L'Kedusha, because Mishulchan Gavah Kazachu. So Tosfos jumps on Rashi. Now Tosfos is not here in Masechta Bava Kamma. It's not even there in Masechta Menachos. It's in Masechta Zvachim. And Tosfos in Masechta Zvachim establishes that Lamaskana, the final position of the sugya in Zvachim, which is a little bit different than the impression you get in Menachos, a Kohen can take the basar of Kodshim and he can be Mekadish and Isha, and the Kedushin is valid. Meaning that even if we hold that Kohen Mishulchan Gavah Kazachu, nevertheless, the ownership rights of the Kohen is absolute and total in such a way that he can be Mekadish and Isha. So therefore, Rashi is looking for a nafkamina to the fact that Kano Hashem v'nasal Kohen in the case of Keren V'chomesh, of Gezel Ager, and his nafkamina is Kedusha Isha, that the Kohen cannot be Mekadish and Isha with the Keren V'chomesh. That's incorrect. Although it does reflect one sugya, but it's not the maskana. And therefore, Tosfos looks for a substitute, nafkamina, for this principle of Kano Hashem v'nasno lakoin. Says Tosfos, the nafkamina is, it's a pretty revolutionary idea, le'isr me'ila. What does that mean? that when something is owned by Hashem, then there's a chalos din kiddusha sachefetz, the object itself becomes kadosh in such a way that someone misappropriates it. So let's say, for example, someone other than the Kohen would use this Keren V'chomesh for his own purposes, he would violate the Issur Me'ilah. And even after this Mammon, which we call Gezel Ager, which is the Keren and Chomesh, is handed over to a specific Kohen in the Anshei Mishmar, it still retains its status as a result of the original Kinyan Lashem of an Issur Me'ilah. Okay, now, I don't know if anybody followed a word of what I said today, but this is really heavy kodshim, but I just wanted to point out to you that this concept of Kano Hashem is not some sort of philosophical concept, you know, for a nice drasha, but it really has halachic implications.
But if you accept what you just said, and it's Kano Hashem, and then you'll say he goes back to the Kohen. Who decides on behalf of Hashem?
It means that Hashem is doing is he's allowing the Kohen to have ownership, but the state of Me'ilah, that state of Hegdesh, is not Paka. Again, there may be a possibility of doing Pidyon, but up until the point that you do Pidyon, the Issur Me'ilah still applies. That's what Kodesh Hashem is. Okay, for that you need, you know, to really study the Sugya inside. I'm just mentioning it in passing.
This
now,
wicked Kohen who stole it in the first place is not depriving himself of the ownership of that.
Correct. The Kohen himself gets ownership, but he gets ownership with an object that still has some residue, so to speak, of Hegdesh to it. Not as far as the Kohen is concerned. He's allowed to use it. He can even be Mekadesh and Isha with it. But through the Kedusha Isha, he's being poder something that still retains its status of Hegdesh. And insofar as it's Hegdesh, it generates an Issur Me'ilah. That's pretty radical. You have something which, on the one hand, belongs to an individual, in this case the Kohen who receives, as part of the Anshei Mishmar, the Keren V'Chomesh, but at the same time, it still retains its status of Me'ilah. And that has to be understood in the light of Hilchas Me'ilah. Fine. Rabosai, give me just a few minutes, because that was just to wake everybody up, including myself. Now I have to ask you another question. The Brisa says, "V'nasno laKohen shebaoso haMishmar." Now let's just think about this. We mentioned that the Kohen himself, who stole from the Ger and took a Shvur Sheker b'Chaya Ger, after the death of the Ger, he was Moda. Now, this Hodah took place at time T1, we'll call it. At time T2, which might have been a week later, a month later, a year later, the Kohen who stole from the Ger brings his Karban Asham. Now my question to you is the following. When we say that the Keren V'Chomesh is paid by this Kohen to the Anshei Mishmar, which Anshei Mishmar? Are we talking about the Anshei Mishmar at the time of what we call the Hishavus HaChiyuv, which means when the Chiyuv of Keren V'Chomesh came into being, which is the moment of the Hodah? Or are we talking about the Kohanim and the Anshei Mishmar at the time of the bringing of the Karman? Because in the interim, there may have been a switch. What do they call it in Buckingham Palace? Changing of the guards, right? There was a changing of the guards between the Mishmar, Anshei Mishmar at the time of the Hodah, when the Kohen, the Gazlan, became Chayev in Keren V'Chomesh. Or should we be talking about the second guard, the second Mishmar, that took over at the time of the Havas HaKarman? If you take a look at Tosvis, Divra Masal HaKohen Sheba Oso Mishmar, Tosvis really vacillates about this very fascinating question. He says, Ein Nira Lefaresh, it doesn't appeal to him that when it says LeKohen Boso HaMishmar, it means the Bishas Hodah, that at the moment that this Kohen admitted, he confessed his crime, Ukshem Eschayev, and at that point he becomes obligated on a monetary level to pay Keren V'Chomesh, that's the Mishmar that we're talking about. Ella, but rather, it appeals to me, says Tos, that it's the Mishmar Shahoya B'Shas Hava, meaning Havas HaKarbon, in this case the Karbon Asham, Sharei B'Chol HaKarbonos, Chatos, Hashomos, Nidorm, Nidavos, Ein Anu Holchim, Achar Shas Achiv, Litno Li Oso Mishma Shoyibos Hashah. Now, wait a minute. What is the Shas Achiv? Well, in the case of Chatos, in the case of Oshom, I can identify the Shas Achiv, pinpointed very clearly. It's the moment that he ate Chelev, or if it was a Sofek Chelev, he's Chayiv and Oshom. But in the case of Nedarim v'Nedavos, what's the critical moment? The moment that he took the Neder. Yeah. So at that moment, there's a full-fledged Chiv to bring a carbon. He said, Arei Alai. And once the Chiv carbon exists, maybe it's related at that point to the Anshei Mishma serving at that moment in time. He says, no, but that's not the din. The din is that instead of the basar of the karban being granted to the Anshei Mishmar at the time of the Chiyuv, it's granted to those Kohanim or in the Anshei Mishmar at the time of the Avaras HaKarban. Ella, and therefore, if we apply that universal principle here to the case of Gezel HaGer, where the halacha is that the money has to be paid to the Anshei Mishmar, Achar hava anu holchim. It all depends upon the Anshei Mishmar who is serving in the Beis HaMikdash at the time of the hava. And when I first learned this Tosfos, honestly, I have to admit to you, my Amaratzis, I thought that this is ridiculous. I couldn't begin to understand this Tosfos. It seems so counterintuitive. Because Bishleimu with Tosfos says the universal rule, that's halach in Hilchas Karbanos. In Hilchas Karbanos, the Anshei Mishmar who have rights to the Karman are those members of the Kohen staff that actually bring the karban, meaning they're in charge of the akravas hakarban. So it makes sense that we go basar shas havas hakarban. But in the case of keren v'chomesh, which is a monetary chiyuv, why should we assume that, like the case of karbanos, it's only those kohanim who are serving in the Beis HaMikdash a half a year down the line that have rights to the Keren V'Chomesh, and we're going to overlook and jump over, like in checkers, you know, those Kohanim who were in the Mishmar at the time that Hashem was Kona the Keren V'Chomesh, and Nasno Liyanshe Mishmar, the Kinyan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was at the time of the Chiyuv. If it's a Karban, then you can talk about a quid per quo, you know, let's talk about the Karban, those Kohanim who are actually bringing the Karban, doing that Krova, they have rights to the Karban Asham. I wouldn't give that Karban Asham to the Kohanim who were there on the Mishmar, on the site of the Mikdash at the time of his Odah, when the Chiyuv emerged. But when you're talking about Keren V'Chomesh, and you're talking about a monetary Chiyuv, which the Gazan has to pay as a penalty for his Gzela, and we've discussed in the past that that penalty of paying Keren V'Chomesh is one entity, you know, Chomesh is like a tag along to the Karen, that's already Dini Gzela. If the Torah says that when he takes the Shavua Sheker, Hashem is Kone, his penalties, his Karen V'Yashu, because the Kohen, the Ger Nebuchadnezzar has no Yashu, Hashem becomes the quote-unquote Yoresh of the Karen V'Yashu, then I would say if Hashem is Kone, is Machne, excuse me, the Karen V'Yasham to the Anshei Mishmar, let him do it immediately. Why wait till the Kohanim bring the Karban? And Rabosai, what conclusion do you have to derive here from this Tosfos? Where is my mistake?
It's a practical thing.
I wouldn't say it's a practical thing.
No,
I would say the following, Rabosai. This is, I think, the principle, and in Mirtz Hashem, this principle is going to become absolutely critical on Daf Kuf Yud when we get to the Mishnah that says that Agozel Sager V'Nishbalo Meis Harezim Mishalim Keren V'Chomesh L'Kohanim V'Asham L'Mizbeach. And the Mishnah goes on to say that it's got to be a complete indivisible process in which it's number one Tashlume Keren and Chomesh, number two it's the bringing of the Korban Asham. And the Mishnah is going to say that if he switches the order around, he's not Yotze. It means that these three penalties, so to speak, I don't know, using that word just generally speaking, don't take me literally, but the Keren, the Asha, the Keren, the Chomesh, and the Asham become one entity, so that the payment of the Keren V'Yashem in the case of Gezel HaGer, which Hashem is Kano, is really all part of the process of Kapara. And when is this Kapara critical, and when is it clinched? When does it reach its fruition? With the Avas HaKarban. So we don't view the Keren and the Chomesh the way I wanted to view it, as a separate independent Chiyuv Mamon,
But as we're going to see in the next Mishnah on Daf Kuf Yud, the Keren V'Yoshem are part and parcel, in the case of Gezel Ager, of the Kaparas HaKarban. And therefore, together with the Karban, the Kohen is Zoche in the Keren and the Chomish. And therefore, Tos says we can apply the universal principle that it's the Kohen who's actually bringing the Karban who gets the Keren V'Yoshem, not the Kohen who was in the Mishmar working in the Mikdash at the time of the Odah when the Chi of Keren V'Yoshem came into being, but rather the Tashlumin, the payment of the Keren V'Yoshem, is part and parcel of the Havas HaKarban, and therefore it's only the Kohanim who serve in the Mikdash at the time of the Havas HaKarban who was Zoche to the Keren V'Yoshem. Alright, Rabbosei, that's all a tag on to what we discussed last week. Now we have a new sugya. Tana Rabbanan. Harei, yeah, Mitch, yeah, you want to say something?
This was not the way that we've looked at it up to this point, where somebody who was not a Kohen had to bring those things. We've had ways of dealing with them differently.
Right,
things
right.
Would have been mochel.
Right, now we're in a whole new...
It certainly did not have to happen at this
whole new concept here. That's what we're saying. Okay. So, Mitch, as we get to the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yud, hold on to your question. You know, Mitch and I have this relationship going where whenever he says something, it takes me a few days to get back to him because he's usually anticipating a sugya that's going to really address head-on his issue. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, now, again, we're talking about a case where the gazlan who stole from the ger is a Kohen. Haresha Hoya Gozel or Hagozel Kohen. Okay. Now it's very cool. What does this Kohen decide to do? Instead of immediately paying his Keren V'Chomesh and bringing his Karban Hashem, he's going to delay it a little bit. Dilly dally. He's on a trip out of town. And when is he going to come back from out of town? Punked when he's on the Anshei Mishma. And it really makes sense now that insofar as he's a prominent member of the Anshei Mishmar, and the Torah says that in this case of a Gezel Ager, the monies are being paid to the Kohenim on the Anshei Mishmar, and let him, no less than any other Kohen on the Anshei Mishmar, be Zoche in this payment. Now, what you remember in the old days in math, we had the brackets with a minus sign at the front of it. So leave out the minus sign for a second. You know, it says here, Minayin Shelo Yomar. Okay, so everything we're going to learn now is in the brackets. And we're going to drop the minus sign for a minute because we're going to see why all the pressing logic within the brackets is eventually going to be rejected. But that shouldn't confuse your minds, meaning I think the best way to learn this sugya is to sort of leave out the words minayin shelo yomar. And we're going to read it as if minayin sheyomar, meaning as if the havahava mina was the maskana. We're going to take this very seriously. And we're going to really argue in favor of the position that in this case the Kohen / Gazlan is allowed to pocket the Keren V'Chomesh for himself. And it makes sense. He's one of the Anshei Mishmar, is he not? Hoil, this is his logic. This is, in a sense, we're putting words into the mouth of the Gazlan. Hoil, he says, what is Gezel Ager? It's Yotze LeKohanim. It's got to be paid and transferred to the Kohanim. Varehu Tachas Yodi. And I am the one who's possessing this Keren V'Yosham. Is Yehesha Li? It shouldn't belong to any of the other members of the Kohen, but rather it should belong to me. Now what this means is, if you take a look at this language of Tachas Yodi, okay, those are the two key words, Harei Hu Tachas Yodi. That phrase Tachas Yodi in Nezikin has a very specific meaning. In English, we would call it possession. And as we say, possession is 9/10 of the law. What it means is that in halacha, once a person has possession over it, to some extent, I mean, there are always exceptions to every rule, it's his. possession makes something his. For example, in metaltolin. In metaltolin law is chazok kol mashatachas yad adam shalo, which means that the burden of proof is going to be on you to claim that the metaltolin I'm holding on to is yours. Karka is a little bit different, more complicated in cheskes gimel shonin, whatever it might be. But in metaltolin, there's something called tachas yado. In the case of Shnai Mochs and Metallus, we have a conflict between there's a double, mutually exclusive tachas yado, each one's holding a half of the talus. But anyway, now we're going to say yachloku, which means that tachas yado wins out, just that he has tachas yado on half the talus, and he on the other half. Now, within the context of the Kohanim v'Anshei Mishmar, if one of the Kohanim would take possession of the Keren v'Yosham, the Keren v'Chomesh, then the burden of proof would be on the other members of this Mishmar, the other Kohanim, to take it out of his possession. And here's where the Kal v'Chomer of the Gemara comes in to justify why the Kohen HaGazlan should be the one to acquire ownership on the Keren v'Chomesh, because he's got possession of the Keren v'Chomesh. That's called Tachas, Tachas Yodi, V'dinu. And the Gemara says there's a Kal v'Chomer, there's a logic that would compel us to accept the position of the Kohen, the Gazlan. He says the following: Ibishalach Cherim. In other words, if it was a case of Gezel Ager, in which Yisrael was bringing the Keren v'Yosham to pay the Kohanim and the Anshei Mishmar, who zocher? In other words, the Kohen, who in this case is the Gazlan, insofar as he's sitting on the other side of the bench, now he's in the Mishmar, he could grab on to the Keren v'Chomesh. He has rights no less than any of the other members of the Kohen. It's like steal the bag. So he came along, snatched the bag, we used to play when we were kids. So he snatched the bag of the Keren v'Yosham, and therefore he would be zocher. Is Bishal Atzmo Lo Kolshkin. In other words, it wasn't even accessible to the other Kohanim of the Anshei Mishmar. From the get-go, it was in the possession of this Kohen HaGazlan. In other words, if when the Kohanim, all the Kohanim in the Anshei Mishmar have equal rights to grab, to hold on and grasp through Tachas Yodo this Keren V'Yosham, then if one Kohen, in this case the Kohen HaGazlan, took possession of the Keren v'Yosham even before it became accessible to any members of the Mishmar, then certainly he should have rights to maintain ownership over the Keren v'Yosham. There's a problem with this Kal v'Chomer, and that's why the Gemara is going to offer an alternative, Rabbi Nosson. The problem with this Kal v'Chomer is Dayo Levom and Adin Lios Tenodon, because again, in the case where the Yisrael who stole from the Ger brings his Keren V'Yosham, Keren V'Chomesh. Whenever I say Keren V'Yosham, from now on it means Keren V'Chomesh. Okay. When he brings that Keren V'Chomesh and makes it accessible to the Kohanim, then every single Kohen in the Mishmar has equal rights to that object. The Kal v'Chomer come to teach me in this case that the Gazlan, in this case the Kohen HaGazlan, has exclusive rights to the Keren v'Chomesh, to the exclusion of any other member of the Anshei Mishmar. So, in the laws and the regulations, I'm not talking about logic now, I'm talking about in the rules that govern Kal v'Chomer, this is not really a fair Kal v'Chomer. You know, if the Kohen HaGazlan wants to prove that he has one portion or one percentage of the Keren v'Chomesh, that's nicha. But to say that through this Kal v'Chomer he can now maintain exclusive possession on the entire Keren v'Chomesh, that doesn't make any sense, because his position on the Mishmar, in a case of Yisrael who was paying the Keren v'Chomesh to the Anshei Mishmar, would be such that he would have rights to one part of, one chelik of the Anshei Mishmar. To derive from that his rights now as a possessor are exclusive to the entire sum of money, that doesn't make any sense. That's Dayo Levom and Adin Lios Kenodin. Again, conceptually I understand the Kal v'Chomer. He's claiming that why should I bother fork it over? Because if even if I forked it over, I have rights to this Karen Vakomish. Now I'm not even going to present it to the wolves, you know, so to speak. Put it in front of all the wolves, you know, not that wolf, right? Okay, to throw it to the Kohanim. Rabbi Nosson, though, I think has perhaps a more powerful Kal Vachomer. Rabbi Nosson Omer, he formulated the Kal Vachomer Bilashon Acher, in a different sort of a Lashon. And what was his Kal Vachomer? He said the following: Uma Dover She'ein Lo Chelek Bo Achi Kones Birshuso. Okay, now the case that Rabbi Nosson, you know, his what word should I use? His model is going to be the case of a Kohen who himself is chayev to bring a korban. Let's say, for example, I'm not talking about a gazlan now, but let's say a Kohen took upon himself a neder and a dove to bring a korban, or he violated an avera and he's chayev chatos. So the law is that this Kohen, who has to bring a korban, he has rights, even though he's not a member of the Anshei Mishmar. We'll see in a second, there's a pasuk that teaches us this din. He has rights to bring the korban and do the avodah and be zoch in the basar korban, to the exclusion of the Anshei Mishmar. And when I say to the exclusion of the Anshei Mishmar, I mean the entire Anshei Mishmar. He's not even a member of the Anshei Mishmar. And this is derived from a pasuk. I think we had the Chumash open over there. John, do you still have it open?
Yeah.
So if you take a look in the same parasha, Bamidbar Hey, take a look, Zev, if you don't mind for me, to pasuk Yud. What does it say in pasuk Yud? The Ish, if somebody could read it out loud. Oh, wait, so let's read it slowly. The Ish Asher Kadoshav, Lo Yeh. Oh, slap there, Lo Yeh. Lo Yeh, those two words, are a reference to the Basar and the R with an ayin, meaning there are different parts of the Karban, but the skins, which are worth something on the market as hides, and the Basar, which are worth something as Basar, those two are called Kadoshav and Lo Yeh. Lo Yeh means the Torah is specifying one individual. Who's that one individual? And the answer is the Kohen himself, who's chayev in the korban. Okay? Now, the law is the following. The Kohen, who's chayev in this korban, is zoche in the basar and the ar under one condition, that he exercises his rights to be makriv the korban. And again, his rights supersede those of the Anshei Mishmar, despite the fact that he's not a member of the Anshei Mishmar. However, if he takes this karban of his, this behemah, and he hands it over to the possession of, let's say, one particular coin in the Anshei Mishmar, then at that moment in time, he forfeits his rights to the basar and the ar. And that particular coin, as a member of the Anshei Mishmar, will now do A, the Akrava, and B, will acquire ownership of the basar. So Rabbi Nosson says the following: Uma Dovar. Now the word Dovar here means a karban. She'ein lo chelek bo ad she'ikanes bershuso. Okay, we have to think about those phrases now. In other words, the karban that's brought by the Kohen is at the moment of the Akrava, he says the following: even though he is a member of, he's not a member of the Mishmar, nevertheless he has a certain schus in this Karban, which is called Achi Kanes Birshuso. What does that mean, Achi Kanes Birshuso? He can bring the korban, He doesn't have to give the basar or the or to any other members of the Anshei Mishmar. And that's again based on the pasuk Lo Yiyeh. But only because of Ad Sheikanis Pirshus, which means he hasn't yet, or he won't, give over the karbon to the Rishus of another Kohen. So in other words, as long as he's hoarding the Kohen, the animal, which he has a right to do under the law of Lo Yiyeh, then no other Kohen has a chelek in this karbon. However, despite that zchus, that legal right that the Torah granted him to go ahead and be makir of that carbon and therefore be zolcha in the or and the basa. Nevertheless, kishi kanis l'shuso, if he hands it over to the rishus of one of the kohanim, who's a member of the Anshei Mishmar, eino yachalo tzio miyado. If you take a look at Rashi, Mishenichnas l'rshuso ein acher yochol lohutzio miyado shem nasno l'koin acher shel oso amishmar shuv ein yochol lohutzio miyado. And now Rashi quotes the end of the pasuk. So let's go back to the pasuk itself. The pasuk says v'ish es kadosh of lo yihu. And what does it say at the end of the pasuk?
Ish asher yitzen
l'kohen. V'ish ish asher yitzen l'kohen. Lo yeh, lo, the word lo yeh, it's a little ambiguous, it's a pronoun, is referring to the Kohen in the Anshei Mishmar. So the Kohen in the Anshei Mishmar now becomes the owner of the Basar and the Ar. And why is that? Because it's Nichnas L'shuso, because the Kohen who was Mechuyev in this Karbon passed it on to the Rishus of that Kohen in the Anshei Mishmar, as if to say, you be makar of the carbon. Once he says those magic words, you be makar of the carbon, the carbon now is possessed, so to speak, tachas yodo b'shuso shel hakoin ha'acher. At that point, the original schus is removed, meaning removed from the coin who's chayav in that carbon. Oh, now we come to the second part of the kal v'chomer. Therefore, says Rabbi Nosson, davar sheyeshlo chelik bo adshelo yikanis birshuso. In the case of Gezel Ager, the Kohen has, the Kohen Hagazlan has two things on his behalf. Number one, he has that same zchus that he always has in the case of a Kohen who's chayv a karbon, and here the Kohen is chayv a karbon b'toras asham because of the Gezel Ager, is therefore Mishenichnas l'shuso, if not only that, he has now possession of the karbon, is eino din d'ein acher yochel otzio miyado. So again, in the first case scenario where the Kohen was chayv a karbon, now the Rishus of one of the Kohanim in the Anshei Mishmar takes over, and that is mafkia, that undermines his zchus. But here, in the case where the Kohen is a gazlan and he has to bring his karbon asham, and he's not willing to give up possession of the karbon, so he maintains his tachas yado, so there is no Kohen in the Anshei Mishmar who has a possession that could undermine and negate his zchus, then for sure he has rights, exclusive rights, that the Gzela remain in his hand. So I both say, just to summarize, the structure of, and the logic of Rabbi Nosson is the following. There are two dinim. There's one din called Zchus HaKohen, and there's another din called Rishus HaKohen. In the case where a Kohen brings a Chatas, or an Ola, or a Neder, or a Nedava, which is his own, he has a Schus HaKarmon. And on the other hand, the member of the Anshei Mishmar, who now receives the Karbon, he has not a Schus HaKarmon, but he has a Rishus HaKarmon. Now we have a head-on collision. Ze Omer Schusi, Vze Omer Rishusi. The Kohen who's chayv in the carbon is waving the flag of my schus. If I wanted to, I could have done the hakrova. But instead, this Kohen in the Anshei Mishmar, since he has tachas yoda, which means he's going to do the hakrova sakarbon, his rishus trumps or undermines the Schus HaKohen. Says Rabbi Nosson, in that case, then the Anshei Mishmar, in the case of a Gazlan who was a Kohen and stole from the Ger, the Anshei Mishmar have no rights whatsoever. Why? Because they can't even establish a Rishus that would undermine the Schus HaKohen. When the Kohenim and the Anshei Mishmar could establish through a Rishus a possession that would undermine and negate the Schus HaKohen, that's one thing. And for that we needed a special pasuk, right? Let's read the pasuk again that says the Ish Asher, I'm sorry, when it says Ish Asher Yitei La Kohen, meaning now the Kohen of the Anshei Mishmar has possession, is Lo Yia. Here, in the case of the Kohen who is the Gazlan, he's not even willing to forfeit his possession over the Kohen. So he has both the Schus of a Kohen because he's bringing his own Karman, and at the same time, he's not willing to give up the Rishus and the Hakrava rights over to the Kohenim and the Anshei Mishmar. So he's not only exercising it, but he's holding on to the Keren, Chomish, and Asham. So for sure he has rights to exclude the members of the Anshei Mishmar. Now, somebody gave me an English translation, what's it called? The Art Scroll. Somebody go to the Art Scroll. And he writes the following. I'm going to try to see if what he says is the same as what I understood. It might be different. But he writes here, does anybody here have an Art Scroll?
Yeah.
Oh, so if you have the Art Scroll, take a look. Well, they don't give you page numbers, but it's called 109B3, if that helps you. And on the left column, there's a paragraph that starts to clarify. You see it towards the bottom of the page. He writes, if even regarding a Kohen's offering, meaning when the Kohen brings his own offering, to which no Kohen of the Mishmar has an inherent right, I think he means the Schus, to be zocha in the karmon and its monetary value, the law nevertheless is that once the Kohen, meaning once the member of the Anshei Mishmar, receives it, and again I would have rewritten this and said possesses it, he acquires the right to that basar and or. If that be the case, then regarding a convert's robbed property, okay, let's go back to not the case of a chatos of an osha, but a chatos and a neder or whatever. But we're talking about now an asham. What do you call it? Asham gezel ager. Is every coin of the mishmar has inherently entitled to it? It's obvious that a coin who has it in possession may keep it. So he adds another element into the equation, which I wasn't aware of. He's saying that in the case of Gezel Ager, not the way I said it, that the Kohen, who is the Gazan, has exclusive Schuyos. He wants to say that all the members of the Anshei Mishmar have Schuyos. But then I think you're going to still get involved here, in my opinion, in the Pircha of Dayel of Amin Adin. That's what I was trying to avoid. So this Kohen who stole from the Ger also is one of the members of the Anshei Mishmar, right? Because he timed it in such a way that he would be a member of the Anshei Mishmar. So he also has one of the other members of the Anshei Mishmar, he has a schus to be zocha in this karbon. Elwat, now which schus is going to materialize itself? It's the rishus and the tachas yado. He's not willing to give up on his rishus and tachas yado. So for sure, the other kohenim are knocked out of the box. And again, all this, Rav Hosai, is in the brackets. Because at the end of the day, we're going to reject all this. Okay, fine. So now the Gemara wants to say that, lo, that even the Kal v'chomer of Rav Nosson is not going to convince us. And therefore we're going to assume that it's Dafka the Kohenim of the Anshei Mishmar, who is Zocha in the Keren v'chomish, not the Kohen HaGazlan. And how does the Gemara slug up the Kalvachomer of Rabbi Nosson? Im amarta bedavar she'ein lo chelik bo. In other words, in the case of, again, I would assume he's talking about the Kohen HaGazlan here, but ein lo chelik bo means that the Anshei Mishmar don't have any rishus until they actually receive the karva, nichnas l'shuso, and then at that point they become the Kohen HaOved, the Kohen HaMakriv. Is that because kishem she'ein lo chelik bo kach ein acherim chelik bo? Ah, the Gemara now rescinds its original premise that everyone has some sort of a schus to this keren chomish and asham. No, the Gemara says ein lo chelik bo. Nobody has a schus. Not the Kohen himself, who was the gazlan, because he's no better than the Anshei Mishmar. None of the Anshei Mishmar have schuyos, and it all depends upon Knisol or Shuso. You know, it's only when the Kohen, whichever Kohen it is, takes possession of the Karbon, and now he's going to be Makrifit, then he gets the Karim V'yashom, is Tomar Begezel. In other words, in the case where the Kohen himself stole the object, right, he stole from the Ger, She Kishem sheyesh lo chelik bo kach yesh leacherim chelik bo. In other words, in this case, if his claim is b'toras anshei mishmar, then at this point, if he's claiming that he has a schus to this chelik, then his schus to the chelik is equal and shared by all the members of the anshei mishmar, and therefore, if they want to claim their chelik in the momon, they can do so. And if that be the case, he has no superior schus in the korban. So in other words, Rabosai, what we were suggesting in Rabbi Nosson is that the Kohen HaGazlan has a special schus in this korban, and all he needs now to fulfill the condition of materializing his schus is to maintain the tachas yado. Now the Gemara is saying that no. Basically, it's an all or nothing situation, meaning either none of the Kohenim in the Anshei Mishmar, which includes this Kohen, has a schus in this carbon, and everything depends upon Rishus. And in the case where he claims that he has a unique schus in the carbon, Yesh Lo Chelik, because he's the one who's chayim in this carbon, then his special schus in this carbon manifests itself in the fact that he's a member of the Anshei Mishmar, and kach yesh lacherim chelik bo. Then, if he's claiming his chus, then b'toras Anshei Mishmar, each one of the members of the staff of the charge of the Kohanim in the Mishmar have the same exact chus, and therefore any one of them have rights to materialize that chus and become a nichnas l'shuso to be makriv the karman. And therefore, the Kal v'chomer of Rabbi Nosson is upshlot. Ella, so therefore, if we don't have the Kal v'chomer, then we go to the following premise. We assume the following premise that gzelo yotze mitachas yodo, as we said at the outset, that this halacha that a gazan has to pay up his chiyuv hashavas hagzela. In this case, he has to pay it to the Anshei Mishmar u'mischalik l'chol echov hakonim. And now the Gemara seems to be assuming that each one of the Kohanim in the Mishmar has equal rights. So the Gemara now is not happy with this. You're telling me that according to this Brisa, the Kohen HaGazlan is going to have to cough up the Keren V'chomish and give it and divvy it up amongst the Anshei Mishmar. Vaksiv, but what about the pasuk that says that we just read before, V'ish es kadosh of lo yeh? That when a Kohen brings his own karmon, he has specific rights to the exclusion of the Anshei Mishmar to be zocha in the basar and the or. And then if we apply that rule here in the asham, the isle asham of a gezel ager situation, then it's his karmon and his obligation, the pasuk of lo yiyu, should apply here, and therefore he should have an exclusive schus to this karmon to exclude the other members of the Anshei Mishmar. So basically what the Gemara is saying now is that, wait a minute, you forgot one factor that has to be added into this equation, and that is that this Kohen, this Gazlan, he has the rights to be makir of his own karmon. So what are you telling me, that all the Anshei Mishmar have rights, equal rights to be makir of the karbon and to establish their rishus on the karbon? That's not so, because we derive from the pasuk of lo yeh that he, this particular singular Kohen who has an obligation to bring the karbon, he has unique rights to be makir of the karbon. He doesn't have to give up those rights to any member of the Mishmar. Says the Gemara, Achamayaskinon, and this is an entire reverse of everything that we've been saying today. Kibbekoin Tomei. So let's go back to the minus sign. The Brisa started with a minus sign. Minayin Shelo Yomar. So the truth is that in 99 out of 100 cases, what's in the brackets is correct. And the Kohen HaGazlan does not have to fork over the Keren V'Chomish, because just as he has rights and exclusive rights to bring the carbon itself, because it's his carbon, he also has rights to knock off the Anshei Mishmar, and they therefore forfeit all their schuyos in his favor as far as Keren V'Yosham is, Keren V'Chomish is concerned. The Brisa says, Minayin Shelo Yomar, that we cannot accept the argument of the Kohen HaGazlan that he can maintain ownership on the Keren V'Chomish, but rather he has to pay and offer the Keren V'Chomish to the Anshei Mishmar. That's a case where he himself is excluded from the Hakrovas HaKarmon. Why is he excluded from the Hakrovas HaKarmon? But Memedubar, what's the case in the Brisa? Again, the Brisa doesn't hint at this. But we're talking about a Kohen Tomei, and a Kohen Tomei cannot be Makar of his Karmon. So this whole halach of Lo Yia, which gives exclusive rights to the Kohen who's Chayav in the Karmon, to be Makar of the Karmon, despite the fact that he's not a member of the Anshei Mishmar, and he excludes the members of the Anshei Mishmar because he has a monopoly on this Karmon, that's only in a case where he has the potential, Al-Pidin, to be Makar of the Karmon. Now, you might ask the question, well, maybe that's a temporary situation. Right now he's Tomei, but tomorrow he'll be Tar. And the Gemara understands, no, that Tuma is not just a temporary situation, it's like a temporary blockage, but rather Tuma changes the entire status of the individual vis-a-vis Hakrovas HaKarmon. As far as Hakrovas HaKarmon, at this point in life, until he does a transformation of soul, of identity, he is a Tomei. And if he's a Tomei, he's Mufka, he's excluded entirely from Hakrovas HaKarmon. The whole schus of the Kohen who's Chayav in the Karmon is predicated on the fact that he can exercise his rights to the exclusion of the Anshei Mishmar to bring the Karmon, and that's not true in a Kohen Tomei, because a Kohen Tomei is in a category of his own. And the Gemara is not happy with this either. Iba Kohen Tomei, if that's be the case, then let's go back to the words of Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson said, quote, Davar Sheyeshlo Chelek Bo, which means that the Kohen has unique rights in the Basar and in the Ar. Mi Islay, how could Rabbi Nosson assume, how could he postulate that the Kohen has unique exclusive rights to the karma, meaning to the basa and the aura of the karmon? If he's a Kohen Tomei and he cannot be makir of the karmon, then what chelik does he have in this karmon? And that's true for all of Kodshei Migdash, including Gezel Ager. And therefore it must be that this brisa is addressing a situation where the Kohen is a Kohen Tar, he has the ability to be makir of his karmon, and therefore the logic of Rabbi Nosson in defending the position and the argument of the Kohen that he should be Zocher in the Keren V'Chomesh is absolutely infallible. So we're back to the question as to why this brisa comes to the conclusion that no, that we can force the Kohen HaGazlan to cough up the Keren V'Chomesh on behalf or in favor of the Anshei Mishmar. Ella, says the Gemara, you're right. We must be talking about a Kohen Tar. Again, spiritually he's not so Tar. He's a Gazlan. Okay, but he's doing tshuva. So we have to call him a Tar. Right? Ashreichem lefnei mi'atem mitarim. So if he's doing tshuva, he's being mitarim. So he's a Kohen Tar. If you'll ask me then, why does the Brisa conclude that this Gezel Ager has to be paid by the Kohen, the Gazlan, to the Anshei Mishmar? Asya, we have to derive a gzera shava. La Kohen, Stei Achuza is a field that's inherited by a person from his ancestors through the generations. And Halacha is, in Stei Achuza, it has a special status vis-a-vis the law of Yovel, which means that normally Hegdesh could undermine the law of Yovel. That means if a person owns something, let's say a piece of land, and he's Magdish to Hegdesh, he doesn't get it back during Yovel unless it's called a stay Achuza. In the case of stay Achuza, the Torah says that when Yovel comes around, then the sadeh, the stei achuzah, will revert back to its original owner. So in Hikdisha Baleha, I'm just giving a summary of Rashi. Rashi says that if in the case of stei achuzah, the owner of the sadeh was magdish the sadeh, now what happens? The gizbar, now representing Hegdish, takes over this field. Now the gizbar wants to get money to take care of and oversee the base Hamigdash. So sometimes what the gizbar does is he takes Hegdish and he sells it on the open market. That becomes a pidyon. And this is exactly what happened with this stei achuzah. So there's Reuven, Shimon, and Levi here. There's Reuven, who's the owner or the inheritor, the heir of a stei achuzah. There's That's Reuven, I meant to say. I don't know what I called him, but anyway, we'll call him Reuven. Then there's Shimon. Shimon is the gizbar who receives this sadeh on behalf of Hegdesh, and now it's in the possession of Hegdesh. Then there's Levi. Levi's the buyer, and Shimon the gizbar sold the sadeh to Levi. What happens when Yovel comes around? The field is removed from the possession of Levi. And what happens with it? Okay, so here we have to read a pasuk in Chumash. The pasuk in Chumash, again, if somebody could open up a Chumash, is in Vayikra Chav Zayin Pasuk Chav Aleph, which, if I'm not mistaken, is in Parashas Bahar. It's at the end of Sefer Vayikra. And there, within the context of Stei Achuzah and all the laws that govern Stei Achuzah, it says, La Kohen Tia Achuzoso. And that means that when Levi, who is the buyer at Yovel, has to fork over the sadeh, instead of forking it over to the original Bailim, who inherited it from his ancestors, that's called Reuven, he gives it, believe it or not, Lakohen. Now the word Lakohen here is a reference to what's called the Anshe Mishmar. And it's very interesting that there are many different Matanas Kahuna which allow the Kohanim to support themselves. One of them is called the Stei Achuzah, in which case the Kohanim and the Anshe Mishmar lucked out, and they will divvy up amongst themselves this field that originally belonged to Reuven, which he inherited from his forefathers, the Stei Achuzah, because the Torah says, La Kohen Tia Achuzoso. And the Bryce explains, Achuzoso, Ma Tamud Lomar. In other words, if the pasuk would have said La Kohen Tia, that would have been sufficient. Why did the Torah add the word Achuzoso? And the answer is Minayin L'Stei Achuza. I'm adding a word here. Minayin L'Stei Achuza Hayotza La Kohanim B'Yovel. How do we know that when Yovel comes around, that Sada reverts to the Kohanim? And then it says Vigala. Now, what does this mean, vigala? Let's say, for example, here's a more complicated scenario. Let's say that one of the Kohanim, who will be serving on the Mishmar at the time of Yovel, the breakout of Yovel, he decides to pay a sum of price for this field. And he has a right as a member of the Anshe Mishmar to do so. And that's going to be derived from this extra word, Achuza, Minayin L'Sada Yotza L'Kohanim B'Yovel, that it would have, if not for the intercession here of this particular member of the Anshe Mishmar, would have gone to all the members of the Anshe Mishmar. But Vigala means he purchased, Echad Minakom, one of the Kohanim purchased the field, minayin shelo yomar hoil v'yotza lakonim v'yovel v'arehi tachas yodi tehe shali that he, even though he wanted to pay and buy, he can't exclusively own this field. In any event, we're going to see here that despite the fact that he has a singular claim to this field, the field is nevertheless going to be divided up amongst the Anshei Mishmar. And based on the Gzeirah Shavah, we're going to apply that principle here to the case of the Gazlan, who's a Kohen, and the Karen V'Chomish is going to be divided up amongst the Anshei Mishmar. Okay, then we'll take a break now for Mincha.
Nachmal, it could have said Lakoin Tia. Why does it say Achuzoso? And the answer is Minayin L'Soda Yotzi L'Koinim B'Yovel U'Geola Echad Min HaKoinim Minayin Shalo Yomar Oso Koin, that Koin doesn't have right to say Hoel V'Yovel Yotza Lakoin B'Yovel Varehi Tachas Yodi. I have possession of this field before the Yovel comes, because I was Goelit, I bought it from the Gizbar. Is Teheshali, it should be mine exclusively, it should not be divided up now with Yovel amongst the Anshei Mishmar and Vidinu, and he has a logical argument. Why? Bishel Acherim Anizoche, if this field, I had not acquired it, it went directly from the Gizbar over to Levi, let's call Levi the Lokeach. Anizoche, I also have rights to this Sode, insofar as I'm also one of the members of the Anshei Mishmar, I'm not inferior, is Bishel Atzmi Lokolshkin, how much more so that this field, now that I have exclusive possession over it, it's Tachas Yodi, I should be able to exclude all the other Kohanim from this field. Talmud Lomar, but the Pasuk says, Kisdei Acherim Lakoin Tia Achuzoso. The Pasuk is coming to telling us that only Achuzoso Shalo, V'ein Zu Shalo. The Pasuk is telling me that only this Achuza belongs to him. The Ein Zushalo. It's a mute to tell us that this particular Achuza, Ein Achuza Lo Me'avosav El Shegaola Miad Hagizbar. So when do we say that Kistei Hacherim Lakoin Ti Achuzoso? That's only in the case of Achuza Shalo. But in this case, Ein Zu Shalo, in other words, Shalo meaning that he inherited from his Avosov. If he inherited from Avosov, then we say that he should get it back for Yovel. But the Pasuk in Yovel is coming to exclude one case. And which is that case? Someone who cannot claim Achuzoso, meaning that he inherited from his Avos. HaKeitzad, who is this coming to exclude? Yotza mitachas yodim eschalekas chalechav HaKohenim. It means that it's coming to exclude this particular Kohen who does not have rights to the Sada B'Toras Achuza, Ste Achuza, that he inherited from his Avos. He was only Golit Miad HaGizbar. And therefore he has to fork over this Sada to divvy it up amongst the Anshei Mishmar. Now we come to the Gzeirah Shavah. In the case of Steachuz, it says, Lakoin Tiachuzoso. In the case of Gezel Ager, it says, Lashem Lakoin. So the word Lakoin appears in both cases. That's called Lakoin Gzeirah Shavah. Is Ma Steachuz, just like Steachuz is Yotzi Asar Mitachas Yodo. This one Kohen, even though now he's in possession of the field, has to forfeit his possession, and the field is going to be divided equally amongst the Kohen and the Anshei Mishmar. Is so too Gezel Ager, even though now the Gazlan, who's the Kohen in Gazlan, who has possession over the Keren V'Chomesh, is nevertheless Mischalik Bein Anshei HaMishmar, this Keren V'Chomesh is going to be equally divided amongst the Anshei HaMishmar. Okay, then we'll stop here.